This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, your Q, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Here is Shannon Sebastian with your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, here we go. It is a gorgeous afternoon, absolutely beautiful day in the Umpqua Valley. And I was thinking, you know, I'm hoping to get out, do a little bit of walking later tonight if I don't have a bunch of things that I need to do when I get home. But then, before we began the program, I looked outside and I spied a really cool convertible in the parking lot. And I thought, that's what I need. So I'm kind of sidetracked with the idea of, could I get a convertible? So I don't know. That's my little tip of positivity to let you get started this afternoon.
There we go. That's awesome. Well, I know you walk, and I know you walk a lot, but you probably don't walk fast enough to get that breeze in your hair like you would in the convertible. So that's really enticing. I agree.
And when I was younger and had thicker hair, that would concern me. Now, not so much. I think I'm okay with that, the breeze in the hair thing.
So. I would like it, yes. Well, we are excited to have Dr. Tim Powell here from Evergreen Family Medicine today and talking about some really wonderful programs that they have. And so what we wanted to do is to give him the floor to really talk about the philosophy of Evergreen and the kind of the evolution, I think, is one of the words when I had watched one of the videos. He has some excellent videos on their Facebook page, so I encourage you to go look at those as well. And it also introduces you to some of their physicians. So check out Evergreen's Facebook page. They have some wonderful videos on there and encourage that as well. But Dr. Powell, would you tell us about the philosophy or was starting your Evergreen and just your thought process behind it?
Oh, I'd love to. Shannon, thank you for having me. I really enjoy and I appreciate an opportunity to talk about the innovation we're doing at Evergreen Family Medicine. The starting and grounding philosophy at Evergreen is that you have to have a convertible. It needs to be a blue convertible, dark blue. Yeah, 2007 would be just about right, a Z50. And so that's mine sitting out there, and I'll let you ride in it afterwards.
There we go.
Best of both worlds.
I was buying that for about a few seconds, and I wait a second here. That does not sound like a corporate mission statement.
So I've been practicing family medicine in Douglas County for 40 years. So much has changed during that time. It's hard to even keep track of what has changed. When I, think about the medications that have changed. It was 1987 that Prozac came out. Prozac is the newest of our antidepressant medications. It was in the early 2000s, about 2006, that basal insulin came out, the Lantus, which is really revolutionary for diabetic control. But think beyond that. A lot of the things we take for granted today were not available then. CT scan was new. There was no MRI. The internet began in 1996, and it was dial-up then. Google came out in 1998. And then think of this, Shannon. 2008 was when the first iPhone came out. Can you imagine life without that? Can you imagine life without the iPhone? And I point these things out to instruct us on just how quickly and how powerfully technology changes our life. And as I've seen that, and I've seen the development of laparoscopic surgery and stenting for coronary artery disease, all of which wasn't available when I started, I realized that those things are very powerful and have truly adjusted the way I practice and what I'm able to offer patients. But the most important change in those 40 years is actually the philosophy of what family medicine really means. And at Evergreen, we base everything we do on what we call the primary care patient-centered home. And in this patient-centered home, the philosophy is that I don't just wait for a very organized patient to call my office, make an appointment, come at the right time, and talk with me and let me examine them and see what it is we can do for them. We do that. But we also think about the patients not in front of us. We think about unarticulated needs in the community, the most vulnerable that can't speak for themselves. And we think about how we can really promote a healthy community to live in. And so the way we take our responsibilities now and organize our work is much different than when I started. Instead of being centered on me, I guess, and what works for me, we're really now very interested in going to the patient. And one of the things we're going to talk about today, telehealth really allows us to do that.
In thinking about that, and when Evergreen started, it's kind of like it's really been built up to be, I mean, you have added a complete new office now. You've added many physicians, which is so needed because we really don't have enough primary care physicians to handle the amount of individuals that we have here. And so I feel like it's almost the field of dreams. Like if you build it, they will come. And that's happened to you. And that and Evergreen has been blessed by your philosophy and by what you're bringing to the community and how much you think about your patients and their experience at your clinic. So I thank you for that. And I feel like you'll continue to be very blessed.
Very, very, very kind, Shannon. We built our facility on Eden Bower in 2005. We moved in. I was scared to death. Everything I owned or hoped to own in the future was leveraged on that, and myself and my few other partners. And it felt like practicing in a museum. It was just empty halls, and I thought, oh my goodness, we really overdid. A number of years ago, there wasn't a spare closet to be found. We had it totally filled up everywhere. We've acquired a clinic in Myrtle Creek. We've now built another clinic on Harvard. We filled those up. We're looking to build this year, actually, in Sutherland, a very nice facility we'll build up there because the need is there. The need's there for primary care. I was looking the other day at the transitions because it has been said, and it is true, that it can be difficult to recruit really good providers to rural areas. Having said that, if there's the right culture, the right mission, the right vision, they will come. And we've brought on a total of 40 providers since 2016. Now, that is to replace some of those that retired or left. We've had women's health, and we now do obstetrics and all sorts of women's surgeries and just care there. We've really added behavioral health, mental health, psychiatry, endocrinology, all of these things. And we've been able to do that because the need is there. My belief is that we were absolutely relevant to the community, somehow it's going to work out.
And I think that when I see sometimes people are making comments about the lack of mental health and stuff that we have here, I don't know that it's out there enough yet, all the wonderful things that you guys do offer in the mental health arena and, via telehealth and what we'll talk about today. And so I encourage you, if you haven't checked out the website for Evergreen Family Medicine, to go there and literally see the physicians' faces, look at the videos, and check it out, because you get to hear time and time again in the different videos from different people just how joyous they are working there and why they came here. And it was stated multiple times on ones that I saw that it is the philosophy that brought them here, along with the beauty of our area. But the draw of our natural beauty in Douglas County helped out too. But it is a lot of your philosophy and your vision for the future as well.
Don't discount what you just said, the beauty of this community. And there is the physical beauty, and it is totally there. It's gorgeous this time of year. But there's beautiful people here as well.
Absolutely.
These are just my kind of people, ranchers and loggers and just red, blue-collar, hardworking folks, and I love living here. I've raised my family here. It's been a privilege to be a part of the community, and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, and I hope that comes through as we host people. But part of the reason we've been successful in recruiting is we fish in the right ponds. And what I've learned to do is to go to the rural tract residencies. We go to residencies in Oklahoma, Montana, Idaho, Texas, West Virginia, to find residents who really do want to come to a more rural area and live and work. And this not what they're forced to do, is what they love to do. And so when we can match passions, everybody wins.
And usually when there's, you know, a physician coming, there's also the spouse. And so, you know, this is, you know, just a beautiful place that I think, you know, everybody's able to fall in love with. One of the two would probably fall in love with what they find here, and that we're, you know, just a wonderful community of nice people to service and to see. And
you know, that's absolutely true. It isn't for everybody, though. Shannon, I hate to say that, but truly, if I understand in some manner for the spouse or the provider, it isn't a good fit, I really discourage them from coming. Nobody wins with that. Mm-hmm. I tell them if they want to be anonymous, this is not the place to be. I see my patients at the football game and Fred Meyer and at church, and I get asked medical questions everywhere, and I honestly don't mind. I'm part of their lives, and it's a privilege. I love it. It's a small pond, and I'm fortunate to be known here and have an impact. My wife was able to serve on school board. As I say, this is a lovely community, and I can't imagine a better place to live. But it doesn't fit everybody.
Well, one of the programs that when I was over speaking with Kim at your office, is that you are in a new program, and I'm not sure exactly when you launched it, but in the schools in our area. And so I'd love to start on that, and we'll continue with that some more here as well.
I always start, as I look at any endeavor, I begin to develop any vision, I always start with a problem statement. And the problem statement when I came to schools was this: we have 50 public schools in Douglas County. Now, this is a large county. I want folks to think about this. I'm talking about geographically. We have schools from Tiller, to Days Creek, schools in Camas Valley, Elkton, North Douglas. Over that period, we have 14,000 students. A lot of these students have difficulty in access to health care. Our county, relatively speaking to the state, is a poor county. A lot of these are in poverty, but oftentimes it's transportation, or frankly, the parents just can't take time off work. And so health care is lacking. Once again, what I said prior was, I have to give up the idea that all those people are going to come to Roseburg and see me. I have to figure out a way to get out to them. But I can't afford to put a provider in every one of those 50 schools. It just won't work. But I began to investigate the concept of telehealth and utilizing this same technology, this same power of the technology I spoke to of the 2008 introduction of the iPhone. That same level of advancement is occurring in telehealth, and that we can leverage to reach these kids.
Well, we're going to talk more about the telehealth and the program that you have going here right after this message, this little break.
That's right. Back in a couple minutes to Your Cue with Shannon Sebastian, presented by Premier Insurance Group on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's Your Cue. Shannon Sebastian, presented by Premier Insurance Group, right now on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you, Kyle. We are here with Dr. Tim Powell from Evergreen Family Medicine. And when we left for the break, we were starting to talk about telehealth and your program that you've started and launched in the schools around Douglas County.
Shannon, when I use the word telehealth, your audience is reaching to their own experience to interpret that. Because of COVID, a lot of visits now have been telehealth. And what they consist of is sort of an iPhone, maybe a computer, where there's visual and audio, and the provider and the patient talks. Let me be very clear, that's not what I'm speaking to. That is not what I'm speaking to. When we began this program, I began reading everything I could about telehealth. I attended every conference at telehealth, including the American Telehealth Association in New Orleans. When I would find folks that were using it, I would bend their ear, mainly listen, but to understand what was working, what wasn't working, where were the problems. I thought as I started, I needed super, super hardware, and I was willing to invest a lot in hardware. What I found was it wasn't the hardware. Most of the hardware was the same. It was the software. And I developed an appreciation of the current company we are using called VitalNet. And VitalNet, the folks that started that all came from the military. They're all ex-Pentagon folks. And they have completed telehealth from the United States to Afghanistan or wherever for some time. Whereas everybody else I spoke to in those arenas were very techie people and could talk way over my head about the technology. The practical application, what I needed, it was very clearly these guys spoke my language. And so we developed an association and now a partnership to do this. So this is what telehealth looks like. We have at the site either a military suitcase or a wall-mounted unit. We have a nurse on site. I can assign one nurse per district, and they come to the place of need. They bring the student, can just sit in his classroom till it's time to be seen. They take the student out. They sit him before this, hook him up. They do all the vitals that are necessary, and then they hook to the main station, and that is going to be evergreen. But it may not be the same person. If it's a women health issue, they may be talking with Mary Powell or Stacey Hanna. If it's another issue, they may talk to one of our pediatricians or other family physicians. So it can go to different places. And then we can not only just take a history, talk to one another, but we can do a complete exam. When I look at their ears, for example, their tympanic membrane fills my entire screen. The same thing with their throat. I can listen to their heart and lungs better than I can with my stethoscope. We can do a skin exam and blow it up so it's like looking under a magnifying glass with all special views that are required. We can also do even EKGs and ultrasounds remotely. We truly can do a full exam because the nurse is on site. She can do vital tests and blood pressure and pulse and those kind of things. I mean by that, measure oxygen. But we can also do anything from COVID tests, CBCs, mono tests, quick straps, flu swabs, pregnancy tests, whatever else is required. So this is not an exam where we're just talking to one another. This is a complete exam equal to, sometimes better than what I can do in person. When we've completed that then, when we completed the exam, if there's a prescription fill in, we can send that in to Fred Meyer or Walgreens or whatever their wish, and they can go back to the classroom, if it's appropriate, and pick it up after school. The other thing that this allows is to bring other people into this visit. So, for example, if their parent wants to be a part of it but can't attend in person, they can call in and attend this. If I need to call in a specialist, if I need to call in a behavioral health specialist or a psychiatric nurse practitioner, or if I need, we're talking about something to do with behavior attention deficit, I can bring their teacher into it who can just be on the phone for a little bit. And once again, the communication possible and the decisions made are actually better than it might be in person.
Well, and sometimes there is the white coat syndrome. So I think that it, with a child to be at their school where they're comfortable and, well, when we get them all back in there, which we praise every day, but they're probably more comfortable and more relaxed, and it feels safer and you know, more friendly for them in that atmosphere as well. And then the parents aren't having to leave work and time lost and inconvenience to other people. They're not having lost wages and stuff like that. So it just seems like a win from so many different angles. And I, for one, am so grateful to you for getting this off the ground and going and maintaining it, because I think this is a wonderful, wonderful thing that our children are being afforded in the school now.
So the kids love it, Shannon. As adults, we struggle more to relate to technology, but you've ever watched two kids sit across the table from each other? They're both staring at their phone, texting each other. And so, I mean, that's how they communicate. And they're sometimes even more comfortable with our counselors and stuff in this environment than in person. They love it. They can see their throat. We can show them, you know, the pictures of their throat and ears, and hey, that's cool, you know. And so they truly love it. It's not a problem from that standpoint.
You might actually inspire some of them to go on to medical school by getting to see those pictures and things like that.
Partnerships that I have a vision can build, and we're going to work toward them. One is just education. One of our nurse midwife, Stacy Hand, is very interested in engaging in all. I think she's going to do it in fifth grade. She's going to get her bestie bag as they begin to talk about menstruation and stuff and mm-hmm. the new health. And she's going to be talking to these little girls about this. Also, as they get more into high school, whether she talked to them about contraception or sexually transmitted disease, even if it's not an issue at that time, if there ever is a concern, now they have someone, I know who I could go to for this. They have a little bit of a relationship. They've seen her face. It's not as scary, and they can reach out. And that's just crucial to make those inroads. We also hope, though, in time, at each school, we intend to have an advisory panel of parents and teachers and so forth, or each school district, to be able to advise us what we could do better, what's missing. And in the high school level, I want to have a student on that. But there's also elements where we can, of course, HIPAA is very powerful, and we have mm-hmm. to be cautious with that. But we can begin to, even in their junior, senior year, begin to train some of the people if they want to work as an MA and get their kind of their foot in. By the time they graduate, they could be certified as a medical assistant, where they could get a job right away. And so both from an education standpoint and a partnering, but what you're doing, everything in medicine about this is you're developing a relationship. You're developing a relationship with the school, with the teachers, with the parents, with the kids. You're earning their trust. And this gives us an opportunity to do that, because there's a lot of these kids that otherwise you just won't have that trust. And they feel, in a classroom setting, as you talk with them, more comfortable than if it's just one-on-one with them sometimes. So you're always looking for ways you can begin to earn their trust.
Well, and that's important, because for a young child to, no matter who that is, to find that one person that they connect with at some level, that if they need to have a conversation that's either awkward, uncomfortable, private, or scary to have, that there's somebody that they feel like they can do that with is truthfully invaluable, because, it's there are those conversations that are awkward and uncomfortable, but you really do need somebody that can help you with it, instead of just a friend saying, yeah, that's really horrible, sorry about that. Somebody that can actually take action.
Sometimes you don't know who it is you're talking to. You may be talking to a classroom and there's somebody listening over here with a real need that you don't know about. But by making yourself less scary, they may ask for an appointment where you can speak to them, or you may see them for a sore throat or earache, but there's some deeper issues they need to speak to. And after you begin to develop that relationship, there's always that, anything else I can do for you? And at one time they'll say, well, there is something else.
And encouraging them, if they are curious, like you said, about let me see the inside of my ears or my throat, or can I see the pictures? Or it's like, you just never know who that's going to trigger some interest to go into like a STEM field or something, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, and go on to do something great or invent a wonderful program such as what you're using. And so it's like, you know, that could also be so inspiring.
The other thing that we're doing in the schools, and as I explained to the superintendent and school boards, we'll see any other adult within the school district. We'll see the teachers, we'll see the support staff, secretaries, and what I'm hoping is that can reduce the need for substitute teachers by them not being required to take time off. In the kids, what I really want to prove is that I can reduce absenteeism. So often, the parents, when their child is sick in some way, have two options. They can either send them to school sick, or they can keep them home to be safe. But it'd be very nice if they could send them to school with a note, have Johnny see the doctor today, mm-hmm. and then they could evaluate him and say, no, this kid has strep throat, he needs to go home, or this kid has a cold, but we'll mask him and he'll be okay to be in, and he doesn't need to miss school. And I think, and I hope, this is very powerful. We're also going to do a lot of preventative care. We'll do sports physicals and make sure all the vaccinations are up for those that want it, just routine physicals and stuff, because, again, it is hard for parents to get these kids in.
Well, and to plan it and to be able to go, that's why I think so many people end up in the urgent care, because they're like, oh, I can't miss work, I can't do this, that's the only thing I can do. But it's like, you're missing that opportunity to make that actual relationship with somebody, because you're going to see the same person potentially, you know, if you are going or able to go to your PCP, or if you are able to, you know, have them seen at the school, and then they're going to be able to, you know, build that relationship. And relationships are important to preventive care and to, you know, to our health in general.
The other thing that this allows is for us, or for the parents, to access that medical record so they can, after the encounter, go in and see what the findings, see what we did. The other advantage of being local here, being in the community, is if after hours the child is then having a reaction to the prescription, or it wasn't there at the pharmacy like it's supposed to have been, and that's probably our fault, or whatever happens, they can call, and the person on call can go into that record and say, oh, I see what happened, and deal with it.
Yeah. Technology is amazing. So I think we're going to take a break here, and then we'll be back in just a moment.
4:35, it's your cue on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 4:38, the afternoon report on the way at 5 with Douglas County's news team. This is your cue with Shannon Sebastian, presented by Premier Insurance Group on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, we are back talking with Dr. Tim Powell from Evergreen Family Medicine, and we're talking about telehealth and all the wonderful programs they are offering, and they are in the schools. And you did mention that we have a lot of schools in Douglas County. We don't think of them as they're kind of scattered around a large area, but so what schools are you currently partnering with?
So, Shannon, currently we are in Winston-Dillard District, school district, and the schools there, the Glide School District in South Umpqua. Now, Glide and South Umpqua, we're just getting started. I really expected to be a year ahead of where I am right now. Frankly, COVID closed that door to us because you can't see kids that aren't there. But that's where we're at now. We intend to at least offer this, though, to every school district in Douglas County, and I hope within 2 years that will be a reality.
And that's a lot when you're talking, staffing and...
Yeah. Well, it's 50 schools, and I'd have to count again the districts. The other place that we are in is the Boys and Girls Club, and Brian Lake is such a delight to work with there, and there's such a need there, again, but an opportunity to go where the kids are, to go where the need is. If I could speak just to one other thing while we're on telehealth, because the other place that we're going in, the other huge need is into the nursing homes with this, and I, Shannon, you're going to get a windburn with me talking this because I get so enthused about it. I just love this. For many years, for all my career, I've seen folks from the nursing home, and what would happen is they'd cart them over to my office, and most often the patient had no idea why they were there. The individual that took them was a driver, and he went out someplace for a smoke usually, and the people that really know them, which are the nurses, of course, were back at the nursing home working so very, very hard, as they always do. What this now allows is we have chronic care nurses, and we send them with this same equipment to the nursing home, and we see the patients there, and we see them in the company of the nurses taking care of them, so that they can really tell us what they're noticing about the patient. We can connect them with the provider, do the exam, get the orders, and then our nurse, again, collaborate with the facility nurse to make sure there's no question about the orders, our med list are the same, our plan is understood, all questions answered before we go. On that encounter, the power of this software also allows, if desiring, the family to call in. And maybe they live states away, but they can be a part of that visit to know how their loved one is doing. So much energy and expense transporting elderly people afar, not just for no good, but for it actually tires them out, it harms them, and it is no value whatsoever. Most of the time, they just want to make sure they're back in time for lunch, and this poor individual, it's just I see things, I say, I really want to tell the nurses about this, I see a wound coming here, I need to move more, or I want them to elevate these legs more, and so I write the orders, but I always worry, are they really going to get it? Now I can say it to them, and they say, okay, we'll do that, we understand, but hey, did you see this place? Okay, let's do that for that. And it's really a collaborative effort. One of the changes in the philosophy, in addition to going where people are, is we work in teams. And it isn't just the physician. It's really the team. And I need that nurse out there invested in part of my team to provide best care for that patient. Currently, we're in Rosehaven and Umpqua Valley, but we are both the long-term and skilled care. But we're also moving this thing into the assisted living, like Oak Park or Brookdale Memory Care, Callahan Village, Adams House. We've increased actually to 10 facilities now. And again, my vision is that every facility in Douglas County of that manner will have that capability. Again, we'll supply the nurse, we'll supply the technology, we'll just see their patients. Occasionally, the patient's quite healthy and says, no, I'd really rather, I like an outing. Maybe I'll get a milkshake on the way home or something. And
yep.
So they go out, and that's great. God bless them, and they should. But they shouldn't be compelled to. And the other thing that happens is late at night, a lot of times, a lot of these patients are carted away again to the emergency department because they spike a fever or some issue happens. Most of these are wasted visits, expensive. They get a CT scan, a bunch of stuff they don't need. Nothing good happens, and it comes back. We can hook these folks up at night, and a person on call can do this visit. So there's just a lot better care capabilities through this.
Well, and when we were talking earlier off air, I'd shared with Dr. Powell that my mother-in-law was in Brookdale, and she had Alzheimer's and dementia, and so I was kind of one of those that would take her to and from her appointments a lot of times, and sometimes my father-in-law, which it was very difficult on him, and honestly emotional, because when you're taking somebody out with Alzheimer's and dementia, you're upsetting their apple cart and their routine, and that can just put them, off balance for days, actually, for some of them, depending on, what level they are in the disease. And so to be able to keep them in their safe space and go in and do that. I, even though, you know, my mother-in-law was one that got the milkshake, what we would have given to have had this in place, absolutely we would have taken advantage of this had that been there. And I know they would have too.
You know, I think most powerful, if anything, with this, there's a lot to what you said, maintaining a routine. But if I could point out the one thing that is just crux, it's the communication with the facility mm-hmm. and the nurses. Those are the folks that really know that patient. They know what's been happening with them. And when they come to my office, I get none of that. And the patient can't tell me. And furthermore, the patient can't relay to the nurses what I'm feeling. And I can write it on paper and hopefully somehow mm-hmm. the message gets there. This takes all of that out of there. My nurses there on site, their nurses on site, they're talking to one another, they're getting their questions answered, and it's just no question that it's more humane and better care.
And I believe that there's just so many ripple effects to this, truthfully, because I am blessed, you know, as an insurance broker, I can come and go and make my own hours and stuff like that. So I was blessed to be able to go and do those things for my mother-in-law. Not everybody is. And some people have their parent here, but they may live elsewhere. And you struggle with that, with the guilt of, are you doing enough for them? And so to be able to actively involve the family members who are afar, but they still care and love and want to be there for their loved one, I think is just an extra enhancement of it as well, because you're getting to talk with the nurses, and somebody can find out about their loved one and stay in the loop as well.
The power of this, Shannon, becomes exponential. Now, the equipment's expensive, and the nurse's time expensive. It's very inefficient out there. But I'll tell you where it saves money. It saves trip to the ER for a lot of studies they don't need. A lot of times, if there begins to be a decline, and it's natural expected occurrence, if the family and decision makers are on there, we can decide end-of-life planning. So that also is done in a humane manner. So instead of waiting till the event or the last minute and then transporting them for care that is utterly not productive and not desired, we can have this decision and be ready for it, and everybody's prepared. And that's, again, part of the humanity.
And again, that's just, there's so many layers to this and to what it can do and the good that it can do. So again, I just can't thank you enough for all the things that you do for our community and thinking of how we can, you know, better the community and the health of the individuals in there. So,
Shannon, this is fun. I practiced medicine for 40 years. I'm getting too old to keep doing that, but I just love it. If I had to do it over again, I'd choose the same in a second. But I tell you what this does. This brings me close to people in the nursing home. And let me say this. Anybody that criticizes a nursing home needs to go there and work there for a week.
Yep.
Man, do those folks work hard. Mm-hmm. And September, the CEO there, Janie, the head nurse, are just wonderful to work with. And they have such a heart for these people that they are really glad to facilitate this with us. And that kind of coordination just makes my heart sing, because at the end of the day, it's the patient that benefits. It's why I went into medicine in the first place. And at this stage of my career, to see some of this coming. For many, many years, I would go and round at the nursing homes, and it was okay. It was there, but it wasn't as organized. It was very difficult to do. This is a sense where technology truly improves care. There's technology that doesn't necessarily result in improvement. This truly does.
Well, and you're using the same equipment that you use at the school?
Absolutely.
Is what
the
you
same.
Did the suitcase or whatever you were talking about?
Yeah, it's a military suitcase, and the same thing the military uses. That's why I say we went with VitalNet, and there's companies that just make the hardware. And there's some really cool looking, you know, with Magnum wheels and everything, you know, really cool looking hardware. And they explained to me, look, yeah, it's flashy. It's all the same stuff. You got a computer screen. You have it has these capabilities. We can order this, get it generic, and you can save money there because really what you need is the power of the software for good communication, for inviting all the parties in, for scheduling, these kind of capabilities and connectivity. And again, they understood this because they've done this across nations, and it's absolutely true. So they've been a really good help for us to complete this.
Well, I think it's fabulous, and again, so grateful to have you in the community.
But the suitcases won, and at first, one of the suitcases, as I visited in New Orleans, they said, hey, try this. And I tried, man, I could hardly pack it around. I could see some of my petite nurses trying to haul this sucker around. I said, well, that's not going to work. But I didn't necessarily want to. And then I said, well, okay, I'll get a wall unit. But you go up to someplace like Yonkala, and all the schools are kind of close there. Here you have the middle school and the elementary school, and I said, well, I'll just transport the kids. Well, that's a problem for the schools because there's liability
right.
with even a short transport. So I said, okay, I've got to refigure here. And so I went back to Vitalness. I need a suitcase, but I can't have it weighing this much and this bulky. And they came up with one, which is great. It's totally does everything else the other one did, but it's much more lightweight. And my nurses don't mind. As a matter of fact, they even take it in the patient's home. We do home visits as well, and they could even take it into patients' home there and set it up there. So it's a great help.
Well, I have a couple more questions for you when we come back from the break here. So we'll talk in just a few.
All right, 4:52 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's 4:54, the afternoon report on the way at 5 with Douglas County's news team. This is your cue, Shannon Sebastian. I'm going to get this right yet. Presented by Premier Insurance Group on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right. So in the last few minutes, we're here with Dr. Tim Powell with Evergreen Family Medicine, and we talked about telehealth today in a variety of aspects, actually, not just in school, but in nursing homes. So one of the questions I wanted to ask is, I know I read that the parents can sign up for this at registration or authorize the children to be able to go to the school or not. Do you bill insurance or is there a cost for this? Or
what a great question. And here's the deal on that. We never treat any student without their parents' consent. We would never do that. We absolutely will not. So they can sign up either at the school and during registration. We'll have it there. But they can also go on each school we're active in. We place that on the school's website. So they can go there, or they can go to our website and do so. But just going to their school's website would be a way to do that. Obviously, the nurse assigned to that district will also be engaging all the parents in any way that COVID allows and explaining the process as well. Initially, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to have a town hall and demonstrate all this equipment. Well, COVID took that off. So we actually developed a video that shows this now.
And I do know that you are doing Evergreen Talks once a month, the second Thursday of every month?
Yeah. Shannon, thanks for asking about that. Shannon, before COVID, we were doing in-person town halls. And I really loved it. We did things like the vaccination controversies or end-of-life planning, whatever. And we had a great time with that. But COVID shut that down. But coming with COVID were some neat platforms. And through Facebook, now we're able to do every month a Facebook Live event where our doctors will talk to topics that patients care about. It's going to be the second Thursday every month at 4. second Thursday every month at 4 p.m. It's an hour. And we won't bend your ear. They talk for about 30 minutes, and then you ask questions. It's moderated by Brian Prowitz, and Brian does a great job. We take your questions. You can look at it later as well on the Facebook page. You just can't ask questions or throw apples at me. But live, you can anything's fair. The other thing I would tell people as they and go watch the first one. It's me. It's me.
Yes,
what
it
a
is.
Bonus. And and I talked about the way practices change in my 40 years and how that's impacted me and my patients. But I'd love to hear from the patients out there, what would you like to talk to have us talk about? We have people, one of our ladies wants to talk about marriage and the things that make it work or not work. Another person wants to talk about spirituality and in medicine. Another person wants to talk about diet and exercise and wellness. There's just a lot of topics, but there may be topics, how do you know if your child has autism or attention deficit disorder, or what do I do with my child? I think that there's some mental illness here. And whatever the issue is, we can talk to those concerns, but I need to know what this community really wants to hear. It's supposed to be a conversation, not me just talking at you.
Well, we hope people will tune into that and also tune into our show. We're combative at the same time on that time.
But
we're fine. Just giving you a bad time. So today, to wrap up, too, I needed to announce our winners for our 25th anniversary giveaway at Premier Insurance. So we wanted to say congratulations to Vince Christian, who was our big winner. And so he gets the choice of the Triple Play Golf Package or $1,500. So congratulations, Vince. We also have Amy Carson, who won a gift certificate to the Narrows, Sean Davis, a Subway gift card, and Brian Randles. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, at Novus Glass. So we just wanted to announce that. I promised I would today. And next week, I have my mother on the show with me for a Mother's Day special. And so we're going to be talking about some wonderful things that you can do for the moms out there. So we're really excited about that. Check out our Facebook page at YourQ, which is YourCue.com. And on Facebook and on the KQEN News Radio, the show will be on there as well.
Wow. And it's amazing in the small world in which we live when you told me who your mother was.
I know. Barbara Campbell. Everybody, listen to Barbara Campbell on the radio. That'll be a hoot next week.
Yeah. And well known for all of her years at St. Paul's and all the kids and people that she impacted there.
Yes. So we'll see that. Have her back next week, or have her here next week. So we're excited for that.
All right, Dr. Powell, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Oh, what a privilege. Shannon, you have a great show. You do so good. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings.
All right, you can catch the show at 541radio.com. Back next week on News Radio 1240 KQEN.